If you have your Bible, please open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's wonderful to be in the house of God on this Sunday evening. This evening I'll just preach on the one verse found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 15. I'll just read this verse and then pray and then share the word of God with you this evening. The word of God through his servant the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 15. Reads these words. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. And notice with me, this is what I want to focus on this morning, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I just invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we are so thankful for sending your only begotten Son into this world. And for his great commitment, his great devotion to come into this world and to seek out his own, to live that perfect life and to go to the cross and die on the cross for the sins of his children. We're so thankful for his sacrificial death. And for the power of his resurrection, Lord God, we're thankful for this great everlasting love that you have loved us with. So thankful that you've put your love in our hearts and that we, your children, love you because of your great love towards us. We're thankful for this new heart, these new desires that you've given to us, Lord God, this great desire that you've put in us to serve you. To devote ourselves to you, to devote ourselves in serving the church, serving one another. But I confess, Lord God, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I pray that you would stir my heart tonight and stir each of our hearts, that you, by your grace, would take us from strength to strength, that you would renew our zeal and our devotion to you, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. First century Corinth was a very sinful and sensual city. In the first century, it had the temple, a huge temple, dedicated to the pagan goddess Aphrodite. And in this temple that was located in the city of Corinth, it housed 1,000 temple prostitutes. This is how wicked and sensual this city was. Sexual immorality, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, covetousness, drunkenness, revelries, ungodly parties, self-promotion, self-assertion, self-ambition were all very prevalent in this ungodly city. The Christians living in this city, like us living in Sydney, had this kind of present and persistent temptation all around them. No doubt it was hard to live out the Christian life in the first century in this city of Corinth, just like it's hard to live out the Christian life in this city that we live in. But by God's grace, we have been enabled to live out a godly life in the midst of an ungodly city. As a matter of fact, we're called to be light in darkness, to be salt in an unsavory world. By the grace of God, we can live out a victorious Christian life even in the midst of an ungodly city. Throughout his letter, the Apostle Paul confronts the Corinthians for their many errors. They had been very influenced by the world around them, and they brought this worldliness into the church. And he had to correct them, one correction after the other, after the other, after the other. But as we come to the end of the chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, Paul points to a man and his household who are living as faithful, godly Christians in the midst of such a wicked city. He points to Stephanas and his household. This evening, I just want us to look at just one point and one verse, and that is I want us to look at how Stephanas and his household were devoted to serve God through the means of serving the church, or the church being the people of God. Look with me again at our main verse. I'll read it again. He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Paul points to this household who are a good example. And he's saying to the other Corinthians, look what God is doing in this household. He points to them as a good example of a household who are faithfully living out this Christian life in this evil world. He highlights how they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, they were devoted. They were committed to serving the children of God in the church of God. You know, people like this, saints like this, come to church with the Christ-like attitude of serving and not being served. People like this come to church primarily to encourage and not just solely to be encouraged. People like this come to church to primarily help and not to just come to church to find help. People like this come to church to primarily feed and not be fed, and to primarily give and not primarily to receive. They come to church to primarily bless and not be blessed. And make no mistake, beloved brothers and sisters, they are the most blessed in the church of God. In other words, they are the happiest of saints in the church of God. Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Beloved brothers and sisters, being devoted to anything means that it's a priority. Anyone that's devoted to anything makes that thing that they are devoted to a priority, whether they do it intentionally or not. It is always the case. It means that thing that they are devoted to comes first and everything else comes second. If I can illustrate using a mother, her maternal instincts is to prioritize her newborn baby. That's her priority. That is her devotion. That is her commitment. Everything else comes second. When that baby cries in the middle of the night, even though that mother is tired, even though that mother has only slept for 2 hours, that mother gets up and attends to that baby. That baby is the mother's priority. You know, everyone is devoted to something. Everyone has something that is most important to them that they put before anything else. You ever noticed that some people won't come to church if they are tired, but they'll go to work on Monday if they're tired? And the simple reasoning for that is, even if they're tired, they'll still do that which they are committed to, or that which they are devoted to. And this only proves that work is their devotion, work is their commitment. Of course, work in and of itself is not wrong. It's honorable to work hard even when you're tired. I'm just trying to point out with the illustration, the things that we put first are the things that we are devoted to. You notice how some people, this is one of my pet peeves and one of my little frustrations, but how some people on a Saturday will go shopping for a few hours, they'll go to a birthday party or take their children to a birthday party, or they'll go to some function Saturday night, and then Sunday morning all of a sudden they're sick. But then Monday they experience the miracle of healing. Sometimes I feel like encouraging people like this that it's okay to practice the miracle of healing on the Christian Sabbath. Just trying to point out is that all of us are devoted to something. Whatever we are devoted to, we are committed to. I can just give you another illustration. In the year 2022, Parramatta football player by the name of Mitchell Moses. Anyone know who Mitchell Moses is? I don't go for Parramatta, I go for the Doggies, but anyway, this is a good illustration. Mitchell Moses in 2022, his wife, I think it was his wife, was, I'm not sure if they were married or not, but that's besides the point. We obviously know what our view is regarding people that are not married and with each other, but nevertheless, I think he was married at the time or married now. His wife was pregnant. Okay. And he had admittedly a very important football match in Townsville, right? It was the game before the grand final, just so I don't exaggerate it too much. But nevertheless, he had a wife that was about to give birth. She started with her, labor pains, before he jumped on that plane to Townsville and he knew she was going to give birth. Does anyone know what he did? He hopped on the plane and he went and played the footy match. And while he was playing the footy match, as soon as he finished the game, he realized that his wife had given birth as he was playing the footy match. Why would he do that? Now, I'm not here sort of criticizing why he did. I'm sure his teammates were very proud of him. I'm not sure what she thought about it. But I'm just trying to make the point was the reason why he did that is he was very committed and devoted to that team. And even his wife having their firstborn did not distract him from that commitment. Let me give you another illustration, more of a Christian illustration. It's one of the godliest ladies I know by the name of Abir Mano. Anyone know Abir Mano by any chance? You know Abir Mano, right? She's, I don't know why I keep using Parramatta as an example, but she's the mother of Timmy Mano, the Parramatta football player. I think he's retired now. So Abir, when she was pregnant with Timmy, she gave birth to Timmy. So a very godly lady, very devoted to God. She gave birth to Timmy on a Sunday morning. Anyone want to guess what she did on Sunday night? Anyone want to have a guess? She came to church on Sunday night after giving birth Sunday morning. Now, she even admits that was a bit extreme. Like, when I heard that, I ran up to her. I was like very zealot. Like, I was inspired. I was ready to jump off the harbor bridge to try to rescue someone in a boat and tell them about Jesus. Like, that's how inspired. And then when she seen me sort of getting over zealous about it, she goes, oh, no, that was back in my mad days. Like, she acknowledged that it was a bit extreme. And even the pastor of the church at that time, when he seen her, he even told her, what are you doing here? Like, go home. Rest up. Like, come next Sunday. But regardless what our thoughts are, if we think that was extreme or she thinks, all right, that was a bit over the top. But the point is, the reason why she did it was because of her devotion to God. And make no mistake, beloved brothers and sisters, our love and devotion to God stems from His love and devotion that He first bestowed on us. The most important thing I'll say in this sermon is that Stephanas and his household and we, the children of God, are totally devoted to God because He was first devoted to us. We love Him because He first loved us. This devotion did not stem and does not stem from our own goodness, but from God's grace, that radical change that He does in our heart. We see in 1 Corinthians 6:15, it says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Achaia included the region of Corinth, and by saying they were the first fruits of Achaia, saying these were amongst the first that got saved in this region. We see Stephanas mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16, but he's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 16, where Paul says that he baptized the household of Stephanas. In other words, Stephanas was no different to you and I. Before he got saved and before he experienced the love of God, before he experienced that new heart that God gives when He regenerates us, He was a man in his sin, like you and I, a man that was totally devoted to the things of himself, living in a life of selfishness, like all of us, before Christ converts us. But because of the great love that Stephanas had experienced, he was radically changed. I mean, anyone that truly believes that Jesus was that totally devoted to us, that he came from heaven to become one of us, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live the life that we could not live, and to be spat upon and to be crucified in my place for my sin. Anyone who truly believes that responds with love. Love for love. Anyone who experiences that love loves God. Stephanas had a radical love for Christ. I use the example of Abir, who had a radical love and devotion to God, but it does not compare to the radical love of Jesus. It doesn't even come close. Coming all the way from heaven, sharing one will with the Father, he comes willingly. And he said in John chapter 10 verse 17, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And in verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again." He's saying that I have chosen to come here. It's a stumbling block for Muslims when they say, "Why would he, you know, kill his own son? What kind of a God is that?" I say to Muslims, you'd make a point if he came against his will, but Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit are of one eternal will and he comes willingly. He lays down his life for us. It says in Isaiah 50 verse 6, "I gave my back to those who struck me." Talk about a radical, extreme love. That makes what Abir did like as nothing. That's radical that he laid down his back to receive that scourging. That scourging with those nails that ripped his skin off his back. He chose to do that in his love for his children. "I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard." My beard's becoming a bit of an idol, so I'm not sure if I'd be willing to do that. But Jesus gave his cheeks to those who plucked out a beard. I did not, and he says, "I did not hide my face from the shame and spitting." Talk about the radical love of Jesus in that he gave his face to be spat upon by the very people he created so that he would come to this world and die on the cross for my sin, my place. Beloved brothers and sisters, I say this to the glory of God. By nature, like all of us, I am a sinner and a very selfish sinner, but this radical love, this new heart, this grace, the Holy Spirit living inside of me has given you, dear child of God, this desire, this God-given desire to be totally devoted to God and the things of God. The household of Stephanas was so radically changed and so devoted to serving others in the church, it became like an addiction. I love how the King James translates this verse. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:15 in the King James Version, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted." They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Their devotion, or they were so devoted, it became like an addiction. They were so set apart for this task. It became like an addiction. I used to be addicted to drugs before God saved me, and I thank God for his amazing grace that he's delivered me from such an addictive lifestyle. It came as a package. 7 years I was addicted to all sorts of heavy drugs. Now I remember when I was addicted to drugs, I would wake up in the morning, and guess what the first thing I would think about when I'd wake up in the morning? Drugs. It consumed my blood. It consumed my mind. It consumed my time. And I wake up in the morning, all day I was on the pursuit to get that drug. I was addicted. I was totally devoted to that rubbish. Someone who's a workaholic, someone that's imbalanced, of course work is good and it's a blessing from God. We ought to work and provide and be industrious. But a workaholic, an imbalanced workaholic, the first thing and only thing they think about is what when they wake up. They work. Another day, another dollar consumes their mind. It, just everything they do, they would neglect their family for their work. It's like a drug addict would neglect everything around him for his work. But someone who's been radically changed by God, someone who's been totally or is totally devoted to God by the grace of God and totally addicted to the things of God, wakes up in the morning, and I can truly say by the grace of God alone that I now wake up in the morning and the first thing on my mind is God, thank you, Lord, for another day of life. You know, I remember when as children we, you'd have an excursion and then the night before the excursion you sort of struggle to sleep. You're excited and you get up early. You can't wait to get up early and you can't wait to go to the excursion. By the grace of God, that's how I feel, especially on a Sunday morning. I get up early. I'm excited to come to church. Prior to my conversion, I used to drive past the church and go, oh, this place is boring. I want to go to the bright lights. And I was foolish in my thinking, obviously. Sure, sin is pleasurable for a season, but it never provides lasting joy. It doesn't provide what it promises, an abundant life. It doesn't. But Jesus gave me eternal life, an abundant life, a joyful life. I wake up and I'm excited. Someone who has this new heart that's totally devoted, addicted to the things of God, comes to church and is on the lookout, looking for someone he can encourage, looking for someone he can bless, looking for something to serve in. Doesn't appoint himself to like a position or a title. Sometimes that's necessary in the church. We have the office of elder and deacon, but these are God appointed through the church. But being servants in the church, we can appoint ourselves to. We can, after the church service, look out for whom we can encourage, look out for the things we can do to serve our God and the people of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are creatures of devotion and addiction. We're all devoted, addicted, or passionate about something. When we hear the word addiction, we think of a drug or alcohol addiction. But it's not just that. We can be addicted to all sorts of things, including things that are not sinful in and of themselves. But being addicted to them reveals what we love most. You know, I speak to sometimes my family members that are not Christians. They're nominal Christians, but they haven't been radically changed by God. They haven't been regenerated. And they, whenever I try to share the word of God with them, and they, you know, commonly say, oh, you know, they don't get all self-righteous on us, you know, just because you go to church every week. We pray in our own time, and we don't have time to go to church. I mean, we'd love to go to church. This is what they say to me. We'd love to go to church, but we just don't have time. That doesn't make sense to me. I say to them, what are you trying to say? That God has given me 26 hours a day and he's only shortchanged you and given you 24 hours a day. No, we all have 24 hours a day and we make time for that which we love most. It's not a time issue. It's a love issue. It's a devotion issue. It's a passion issue. You put that which you love most first. Jesus gets to the heart of the issue. He says in Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I really can't add anything to that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for his sacred words. God the Holy Spirit, through Paul in our main passage, goes on to say, look with me in 1 Corinthians 16:17, he goes on to say, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus had visited Paul and supplied him his needs that the church of Corinth lacked to supply. And look with me in verse 18, what Paul says, how grateful he is. He says, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. These guys were so devoted to serve the people of God and were mindful of the servant of God and the pressures that the servant of God, specifically the apostle Paul, had to endure. And they set out, they pointed themselves to be a refreshment to him, to be a blessing to him, to be a blessing to the church. Paul says, they weren't only a refreshment to me, but to you also. In other words, they were the type of Christians that were refreshing to be around. I mean, you read the testimony of the apostle Paul. He was getting hammered left, right, and center. He had to say to the Corinthians, the more I love you, the less I be loved. In other words, he poured out his whole life and kept getting falsely accused and backstabbed and persecuted and suffered hunger and pain and suffering and being put in prison as not only an innocent man, but being put in prison for being obedient to God, for doing what God told him to do. He gets thrown in prison. Gets hammered left, right, and center, but no doubt, at least in my experience, and I sort of read into this, no doubt his greatest pain is not when the world persecuted him, but when the people, at least the covenant people of God, gave him a hard time, like the Corinthians. So he had to say to them, the more I love you, the less I'll be loved. But not Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, they were a refreshing to the apostle Paul. They got busy serving to help fix problems rather than whinging about the problems on the sideline. You know, I found that when I get busy serving God, I have less time critiquing, destructively critiquing my brothers and sisters. Of course, constructive criticism is very helpful and needful. I need people to love me and say to me and point things out that I'm not doing right. This is a blessed thing. I'm talking about, you know, it's carnal, kind of destructive, unhelpful criticism. That kind of criticism is just sort of, you know, from the sidelines and just sort of says it to put the other person down rather than to help the other person. How do we respond to a passage like this, beloved brothers and sisters? Well, firstly, I think it's fair to ask an open question so that you could answer it between you and the Lord, just to try to be helpful. And that is, between you and the Lord, I want to ask you a question, and that is, what are you devoted to? What is that thing that you love most? That will tell you where you're at in your journey with God. What you love most, you prioritize most. Even as a Christian that's been radically changed, I did boast in the grace of God, but I do also confess that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I still battle with my flesh. I need to die daily to my flesh. I need to respond even tonight to the word of God by saying, Lord, I confess that I get discouraged and sometimes I withdraw, but help me, Lord. Be a refreshment. Help me, Lord, when I have my Asaph moments and look at the prosperity of the wicked and be tempted by those bright lights again. Help me see their end and help me go back to the sanctuary of God. Help me go back into your presence. Revive me, Lord. Stir up that new heart that you have given me. Renew me, Lord God. Put that zeal in me. Cause me to spiritually grow, that I would go from strength to strength till the day I die. That no trial, no sickness, nothing will stop me from serving you. And that's my encouragement to how we should respond to the word of God this evening. This time I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Just want to encourage you with a few moments between you and the Lord to respond as the Lord has instructed you through the proclamation of his words. I'll give you a few moments for you to pray between you and the Lord, and then I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for sending your son and for his great devotion and commitment, his great love. Come into this world and go into that garden, agonizing as he approached the cross. So thankful, Lord God, that he was so devoted. He was devoted to the point of death, the death of the cross, and his great love for us, to die in our place for our sin. So thankful for God, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, the one that has regenerated us. We're thankful for this new heart that you have given to us, this love that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God, this great strong desire to serve you, Lord God. But I confess that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Confess the daily battle with my flesh. Just pray, Father God, by your grace, that you would stir us day by day, that we would learn to live out this agape love, this painful love, this bloody love that you have loved us with. It was so painful for Jesus, but such a blessing for us, that we would love in the same way, Lord God, even when it's painful, that we would sacrificially love the people you put around us. As husbands, we would love our wives, children with that same sacrificial love, that we would love one another in the church, that we would be merciful to one another, would be forgiving towards one another, Lord God. Thank you so much for this church, Lord God, your church, for the saints of this congregation. Thank you for Pastor Andrew, the elders of this church, the deacons of all the saints. Just pray especially now for Andrew, as that you would give your beloved sleep and rest, a blessed time with you and with his family, and that you recharge him, Lord God. And I just pray, Father God, for the things that you've put before this local church and the work that you've put before them, Father God, that you would bless them more and more, so that they would be channels of your blessings to all the people that you put their way, that you would add to the number, Lord God, souls that would be saved and baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.